Blog Talk Radio.
Your host of the Fly Girl Show, and we have a wonderful, interesting, energizing show that we're going to bring to you today. It is the first of the year, and like most people, everyone says, I'm going on a diet, I'm going to do this, all those wonderful resolutions that most of the time you don't make it past January. Well, we, Carolyn Shelton and I, who is going to be my co-host, we are going to bring you a new way to approach 2017, a positive way, an easier way for you to stick to and improve your life. It's all about what you already have. It's all about doing what you already know. So with that introduction, let me bring in my co-host so we can start this wonderful, energizing show. Grab a pencil and paper and take notes. Today, once again, here is my co-host, Miss Carolyn Shelton.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, energized, ready for us to rock and roll on this show because it's going to be an energizing, fast ride of a show.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And I would like to say welcome and Happy New Year from Louisiana. I'm here in New Orleans. Happy to be with you guys this afternoon or this evening so that we can discuss what it takes to be happy and moving forward in a positive way in 2017 and beyond.
And beyond. Isn't that the truth? Because that's the problem with everyone saying they're on a diet. You're going to do it for a while, you'll lose a couple of pounds, and then you go back or someone invites you out to dinner or to become your birthday, and you've got to have that birthday cake. That's crazy. So
well, my diet really has to do with attitude, and my diet is to eliminate negative toxins that I receive from the world and from different people. And my diet is one of spirituality, one of positive, being positive, and the other is being compassionate and loving toward my fellow man. That's my diet. My diet really has really very little to do with whether I eat five bowls of gumbo, whether I eat my rice and gravy, because I'm definitely a rice and gravy girl, honey, whether you like it or not. Yes, I'll do salads now and then. I don't make no excuses. I will eat my rice and gravy, my pork chops. For all of you that are cringing, say, pork. I eat pork all day long. I eat my dirty rice. But the one diet that I refuse to partake in is a negative diet, and that is negative people, negative stories, negative anything. My diet is a diet of being positive and bringing cheer and joy and helpfulness to people. And one of the most important things that I think we need to have in our diet, Ms. Kaysen, is the compassion. You know, years ago I read a quote from an African philosopher, and it says, compassion is a central part of Ubuntu. And Africans are known for the act of giving and sharing without expecting anything in return. And that's the diet we need to partake in 2017 and beyond.
I totally agree with you. I love your philosophy. And just for a moment, let's kind of backtrack and introduce yourself. I introduced you. Everyone knows your name is Carolyn. But tell us, who is Carolyn, and tell us what you're about. Because when you said gumbo, I'm sure a lot of people's ears picked up and said, gumbo, oh, my goodness. So give me a little introduction, my audience, an introduction about you, starting from the beginning
starting
to
from,
where we are today.
Yes, well, let me first start off by telling you that I too am a former flight attendant with Continental Airlines, which is now United, and I was one of the first, not the first, because that would make me 125, one of the first African American flight attendants with Continental, and back in the day when you really didn't see any chocolate faces walking up and down the aisle 30,000 feet. I, too, have a book called Coffee to Your Watermelon about my life as a black flight attendant, and I've chronicled some other stories that other flight attendants have shared with me. I am now I was actually doing this when I was a flight attendant. I call myself a motivational speaker slash expert slash chef. And being a chef is just like a passion with me. I love to cook and still looking for a husband. But anyway, love to cook. And I can cook other things besides gumbo. And I wrote a little book one time called From Chitlins to Caviar. And the whole premise of the book was that, you know, I can have caviar today and gumbo tomorrow. I mean, it doesn't matter. So I have done I've worn a lot of hats. I'm still wearing a lot of hats. And the most important thing that I want to say to the audience out there is that I am enjoying my journey. And my journey is filled with working with young people, working with moms, working with young men to teach them how to be a gentleman. That is my passion that I continue to do even 2017. I have a cookbook. And I have another etiquette book called Young, Gifted, and Classy, Poise in the Hood. And as you well know, Connie, I worked in Cabrini Green 100 years ago.
Audience, that is exactly where Carolyn and I met, was in Cabrini Green. We have mutual friends that kept asking, do you know Casey? No. Do you know Carolyn? No. And they kept telling us we were so much alike that we had to meet. And was the taping of an Oprah show in Cabrini Green. Now,
yes.
I want my audience to understand this and envision this. It was a full auditorium. I walked in. There was two seats left, side by side. I took that seat. Later on, this beautiful woman walks towards me with all this gold. She had on a white outfit. I had on a white outfit. We both had on gold accessories. She sat down next to me, introduced herself, and it was Carolyn. We fell out. Only two seats left. That was why it was destined for us to meet and become friends. And we lost each other for a couple of years, but we are now reunited. So that's just a little background to my audience about our friendship. But
and kudos
Cabrini Green,
to
that was
back.
Really a wonderful undertaking
experience.
That you had at the time.
It was interesting because the housing authority, Zero Smith at that time, and also the public school system they funded a program that I had in Cabrini Green, and basically it was a self improvement slash educational program teaching these kids, you know, how to get their GED, et cetera, et cetera. I also had a partnership with all of the businesses in Chicago, with Larry Levy and Rich Melman, all the guys that had the nice restaurants and stuff. So I basically cleaned these kids up and sent them out on job interviews, took them to the Ritz-Carlton, took them up and down Michigan Avenue, and just tried to introduce them to something that they had no idea. They were two blocks away from all of this stuff, but they always felt like a fish out of water. So my job was to try to make them feel comfortable and move into those circles to better their lives, and so they could understand that one day Cabrini Green was not going to exist. So as a result of that, like you said, Oprah and the 60 Minutes crew came out to Cabrini Green, and we started a program, Oprah Winfrey, her staff. We started a program called Kadada, which means little sister. And so we had a group of young ladies. It was 12 young ladies. And we started an etiquette program as a result of them coming to Cabrini Green. So fast forward to 2017, I still have a program. It's not called Kadada, but it's called Young, Gifted, and Classy. And I will continue to do it until I go to my grave. And the most important message that I have for young people is to try to be positive. And Ms. Kaysen, let me just say this to you. It is hard to be positive and poor. It is hard to watch shows on TV for these young people and absorb all that it takes to get where a lot of these wealthy people get. So we have to start with a diet of teaching them to like themselves, self-esteem, how to eat properly, and how to say to themselves, my situation is temporary. That's the diet that I feed my young people today.
I love your philosophy. What happened to your program that Oprah was involved in? Did it just kind of...
Well, it just dissolved. It was. We had it for about a year and a half. It was called Kadada. Jennifer Schultz, who is still right there, Jennifer Schultz, Marcia Dyson was in the in that. I just can't remember. It was a group of us, and it was short lived, but it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But it was called Kadada, and but I have been doing this even before going to Chicago. When I lived in Houston, I had a program where I would invite. I think I started off with 30 young ladies, and I would teach them walking, sitting, self-esteem, combing your hair, having the right attitude. I would call different restaurateurs that I knew in Houston and ask them if they would let me bring 30 young kids to the restaurant. They would say, absolutely. And so that started that whole program. And it was never for any money. It was never, you know, I never made any money from it. But this is something that's just been my passion and my love for all my life. I just can't help it. You know what I mean? I just can't help it. You know, that's my diet. So my diet, believe it or not, as we talk about, you know, moving forward in 2017 and beyond, if the good Lord takes that from me, then I'm lost. Right now, I feel so good because I'm making a difference. And that's part of my diet that I feed myself every morning. It's prayer. It's asking God to make me a better person. It's asking him to, you know, help me continue my passion, and that is cooking, eating, having a glass of wine now and then, which is every day.
Yes.
And stirring them pots and writing books and doing shows like this and trying to make a difference. And that's why I love you so much, because I love your energy, and we're on the same page in terms of getting our message across. Now, your diet, of course, that we talked earlier, is a little different, but maybe the same.
Well, I think it is. It parallels a lot of what you have just said, because I wake up and we both start the same way. I mean, it's blessing, is thanking God for waking you up, and that's my cup of coffee. I'm not one that has to have a cup of coffee every day to get started. When I hear people go, oh, don't talk to me, I haven't had my coffee yet. Well, all I had to do was to wake up, breathe, say my prayers, and I'm on my way. So I'm not dependent on anything else but God's blessings every day. So but one of the things, as I said, that was inspired me, and I'm so glad you were able to co-host the show with me, is getting back to, as I said, what we can do, the diet. And we're using diet in a different way, everyone. So it's not about only having 500 calories, 1,000 calories. We're not talking about diet in that frame. We're talking about doing and working with what you have. First of all, Carolyn, you sent me the best little clip, and it was about getting rid of the 10 things or the 10 negative things. And let's just go through those real quick. Do you remember what they were?
I wish I did. I wish I could pull them up on my tablet right now, because they were just awesome, awesome, awesome. I know one of the things was just getting rid of negative people in negative situations. And when you see those people come around you, or if you know some, you need to get them out of your life and out of your space immediately, because they drain. And there's some people that feed on positive people. They do everything in their power to bring you down. And I just refuse. You know, that was one of them. I just can't remember all of them. I just wish I could. I wish I'd written them down.
Oh, well, you know what? As we're talking, they're all going to come to me, as they will come to you too. But that is definitely one of them. You must have, you know, build your self-esteem. You have that. And, yes, remove that negativism. You cannot allow people to bring you down on their level. That is the worst thing in the world. And get rid of, I'm fat, I'm this, I'm that. That self-destruction is something that must be replaced immediately. And one of the things that I have learned that I would like to say to the ladies, and I wrote this up on the introduction, it's amazing that what you can do for your self-esteem, for your look. If you want to take 10 pounds off, 70% of women are not properly fit for a bra. What are the essentials in life? So I say, ladies, go to one of your favorite stores, and I know Nordstrom's has one of the best certified salespeople to do this that fits you properly. It is amazing how foundation will change you, and that's that 5 pounds you're trying to lose right there.
Well, you know, that's interesting because, you know, I since I'm not with the airlines making, you know, $300,000 a year like I used to, that's a joke. But anyway, sometimes when I'm shopping, you know, I've been reduced to be at one point it was like Neiman's, it was Saks, it was Nordstrom's, it was Berghoff, Goodman, it was Bendel. But sometimes I might get my bras from TJ Maxx or, you know, I might get my from Stein Mart. And you're right, and sometimes you buy those off brands and those bras might last you a month, and then there you find yourself buying another one and another one and another one. And then I did exactly what you said. I think it was in Saks about 2 years ago, and I spent a lot of money on a bra. It's not like I'm, you know, no Dolly Parton or anything like that, but you're right. It does make a difference, and I did invest in a nice bra, and I'm now investing in girdles. I mean, back in the day, I don't know whether you guys had to wear girdles, but I used to weigh 99 pounds, but it was a mandate that we wore a girdle. Did y'all have to wear girdles back in the day?
Yes, and to the audience, she's referring to the airlines because it was a requirement for the airline that we wore a girdle. But let me bring you up on the word, the terminology. Spanx.
Oh!
It doesn't. it does
you
the same
right.
thing,
yeah,
but the term
I've
now for the foundation.
Well, you know, I have a friend right there in Chicago. Her name is Carolyn Green. Carolyn Green, and she probably—I hope she's listening to the show. But she started a company. It's beautiful, beautiful lace girdles. I mean, oh, they were so beautiful. But like you said, Spanx came along, and that was like, there she goes, you know. But yeah,
I remember when her items came out. But let me interject real quick because I do have some of the 10 items. So let me read some of those. Just
food
for the audience. And this says, things to drop from your life right now. And it was started and now it stopped again. So we'll go back to, but it is all about dropping that negative, people have a negative influence on you. And, it'll come back in a moment. But, yes, I remember that. So proper foundation. And then as I've said on my write-up also, and for the men, a haircut. You could just go get a nice, styled haircut. You can put on some good-smelling cologne that's going to make you more interesting to the ladies. Hygiene. And I'm sure it's part of your etiquette that you teach these kids.
You know, one of the hardest things is for me, actually, is this one guy in particular who is a professional. He has long fingernails. And I just want to – I try to throw hints all day long about
his – Excuse me. Here it is. Things to drop from your life right now. One of them, drop the word hate. Focus on the word love. That's number one. Number two, drop the past. Keep the lesson. Drop the idea that you need to be perfect. Number four, drop being a people pleaser.
That's me.
Number five. Drop negative self-talk. Oh, this is my pet peeve. Number six, drop gossip and judgment.
Exactly.
Number seven, drop people who put you down. Number eight, drop angry outbursts. Power is in peace. Number nine, drop comparing yourself to others. And number ten, drop regret. Everything happens for a reason. And those are life lessons and life, some direction into how you should start. I feel and Carolyn feels, if you just take one or two of those, it would make you so much more positive in your outlook. Your self-esteem will be, you will have that empowerment. And so those are some of the things that you, now we can move on, but I wanted to make sure my audience got that because those are just wonderful. 10 things you should drop.
Well, the one thing, too, I want to say, you know, like we were saying earlier, I do have a program that teach empowerment through etiquette. And I also say to people, rather than have the right, knowing how to use the right fork and the right knife, et cetera, you also have to know how to have the right attitude. And understand that in life you have choices. You might not be responsible for being poor, but you are responsible for making yourself better. You might not be responsible for maybe not knowing certain things. You know what? There's no excuse, because guess what? We have Google. You don't have to be crazy like Trump and Twitter every day. What is it? Twitter. He's on Twitter every day. But you can Google.
Absolutely.
You can Google just about anything. But the one thing you can't Google and you can't get off of the internet is a positive attitude. And I will say this until I go to my grave. Yes, it's hard to be positive and poor. Yes, it's hard to be positive when you can't pay the bills. Yes, it's hard to be positive because of your handicap. But you know what? You can make it better. I'm gonna say this, Connie. I work at a restaurant here in New Orleans about 3 or 4 days a week. There's a lady. She must weigh about 50 pounds. She's in a wheelchair. She has long dreadlocks. Her name is Emily. She's a black lady, and you see her every day. The wheelchair is bigger than she is. And every time I'd see her, she'd say, "Hey, baby," and I'd have my dog Cooper with me, and she'd say, "What's your dog's name?" And I said, "Cooper," and she'd speak to us. The woman would smile like she had $1 million in the bank. The woman, when I tell you, she was just atrophied. She was just like a tiny little ball of bones, and you see her every day. Everybody knows her. Everybody knows her. That lady never, ever one time asked me for a dime. It got to the point where every time I see her, I just reach in my purse and just give her $1, $5, whatever I have. You know, I just give it to her because she never asks. But the one thing that she gives me, which when I see her, that smile, you would think she had $1 million in the bank. She never complains about her plight, how she got in that wheelchair. She smiles. So her gift to me is that smile and that positive attitude, and she is in a wheelchair. You have able-bodied people walking around with pity parties, pity stories. You know, if I had this, if I had that. We all have choices. Don't you agree? I mean,
I totally agree, and as you were telling the story, you brought a smile to my heart because I can envision someone. We never know where she's come from. We don't know if the wheelchair is a blessing to her because she could be stuck in a house and not be able to move.
Exactly.
And just because you can't walk doesn't mean that you can't get out. So
but
we look
smile,
at her
but God
as,
gave, but God let her face continue to smile. The woman
exactly.
smiled.
And her attitude,
oh, my God. It's so beautiful.
It
are
is
you there?
Beautiful. And it is a lesson for all of us, and we do have to. And it's a shame, but it does take some time for you to sit back. And as they say, you know, I was complaining about not having any shoes until I saw a man who didn't have any feet.
But don't you know, a lot of us need to understand that God sends messages in so many different ways. And I'm going to just say this real quickly. One day I stopped at a place called The Slice to get a slice of pizza. So I was walking from The Slice back to my job, and she was coming down the street, and I reached him. I said, "Oh my God, I don't have any money." I felt really, really bad. And so, because God gave me an opportunity to teach a lesson on St. Charles Street right here in New Orleans, so I reached in my purse. I didn't have a dollar. I just had some coins. So when she approached me, she said, "Hey, baby." I said, "Hey, how you doing, Emily?" So I said, "I don't have any money. That's all I have is some coins." So she held a little hand out, and I gave her the coins. Well, right about that time, there was a white couple to the right of me walking down the sidewalk. They were tourists from Canada. So the guy said, "Oh, by golly, I've got a dollar." So he pulled out the dollar and he gave her the dollar. So I continued to walk with them, with the couple, and she said, "Thank you." And so they said to me, they said, "We're from Canada," and da-da-da-da-da-da. So I said, "You know what?" I said, you guys have no idea what you just did." And they said, "What?" I said, "You gave that lady a dollar." I said, "I usually give her money." He said, "I found that dollar on the ground." I said, "Guess what? That was your assignment. God put that dollar on the ground so you could find it, pick it up, and give it to her." That was him. That was him. That was.
That is so true.
It was him. I just wish I could. That's what I saw. I mean, that might not be it, but that's what I saw. I said,
"That's
God,
exactly right.
He had just picked up that dollar on the ground."
Isn't that
something?
And
he was from Canada, him and his wife.
That was his blessing. That was his assignment, as you
yes.
said. You know, I had a case one night in New York. My girlfriend and I had left a restaurant. We had our food. And we passed this woman who was sitting on the grates. You know how New York, the steam comes up from the ground.
Oh, yes,
and she
yes,
had
yes.
a cardboard box around her, and she was sitting there knitting. So we walked over to her, and we asked her, said, you know, would you like our food? You know, we just left the restaurant. She goes, oh, no, baby, thank you so much. I just had dinner. I am full. And we said, but you don't want to keep it for too much. She said, no, no, no. We sat there, we stood there on the sidewalk and talked to this woman for about 2 hours.
Yes.
And she was such an interesting person. Now, we never found out why she was on the street, why she was homeless. She sounded as if she were in her right mind, but we walked away with another lesson. And she was like, she wasn't asking for handouts. Yes, she needed them. No, she didn't have a place to live. But she was blessed, and she kept saying that. She said, oh, no, I'm blessed. I have everything I need. God has blessed me. So we walk around, and we must pay attention to our lessons, because there's lessons, and every time you turn the corner, God sends you another lesson.
That's right. And we have to add that to our diet. Every day that we wake up, there is a lesson. Every day that we wake up, we need to put a certain diet plan in place so that we can not only learn from it, but we can also transfer what we've learned to the next generation. It could be a nephew. It could be a niece. It could be a young lady you're mentoring or a young man you're mentoring to. We can't teach unless we learn ourselves, so that when we learn, we can share what we've learned to the next generation. You know, I keep saying, but my program has always been geared to young people. And recently I realized not only do I need to impact my message on young people, but I need to also talk to these young moms, because young moms can't teach her kid what she hasn't learned. So
exactly.
Now there's another group that you really have to deal with, and that's these young mothers that are there's nothing wrong with having children, as you well know. I think you're from a large family. My mother had 9 of us, but there is something wrong when you have them for the wrong reason. So
yes.
When you have a child, you have to plan in your head, you know, what is the, how am I going to take care of these kids? What can I offer them? And
yes.
So, you know, that's, we have an assignment. We all have an assignment. So if mom can't do it, then it behooves us to pick up the, you know, pick
absolutely.
Up the
absolutely, and it does. It's about, you know, as the old saying is, it takes a village. And I didn't have any children, but believe me, I think I've been hopefully a positive influence on people that, children that I have befriended, people that affectionately call me mom, and I've always wanted to be the one that they could reach out to and talk to and ask. Now, they don't always have to do what you tell them, but at least ask and get some direction on what you maybe considering an opportunity or you know, for advice. So I like that you are reaching out, and you are, your mission, you haven't finished. You have a great assignment. And you're loving it, and it shows in your face, it shows in your attitude, and always a delight to talk to you.
Thank you.
So some other things that 10 things to let go. That we always have to remember, and I think you and I have said this, let the negative people go.
Yes.
Surround yourself with positive people.
Yes.
And one of the other things that I wrote down is take a class. Exercise your mind.
Or read.
Learn things.
I mean, you don't have to take a class. You can read. You can take classes. Actually, you can take them on the Internet. You don't even have to leave your house.
Yes, absolutely. Well, now let me add on to that one, though. See, I think that we are really, the socialization skills are dwindling.
Yes.
On one hand, you definitely can. If you can't afford to go out, take it on the Internet. But get out and meet someone. Talk to someone. Touch someone. So I still love that socialization that's
yes,
really
so
being
I.
underdeveloped by these young kids, I believe. What
yes.
do you think
yes.
about that?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, you walk down the street and their heads are down. They have earplugs on, you know, the heads or whatever you call them, earplugs or whatever. They're on their iPhones, and they have no socialization skills whatsoever. It's like they're in another zone. It amazes me. They have lost their ability to communicate effectively, and that's part of my job at the restaurant that I work at, trying to teach the staff customer service, why you have to engage the customer, thank them for coming in, thank them and for coming in, and also greeting them when they come in. And that's something that they, that's a hard pill to swallow for these young people. They just don't get it, and they just don't care.
They don't care. They don't see the importance of it. And one of the things that I've always said is that word that I don't know if they know it, don't know how to spell it, but it's called consequences. There's consequences
yes.
for your actions and your reactions to things. And if you just don't understand for things that you do, you're reacting to different things, there's consequences. How do you
yes.
expect to get a promotion if you don't display customer service?
Exactly. Well, they listen. The restaurant business, the food industry, unless you're high end and you're trained, really and truly, you're hard pressed to get good service. Because and the turnover is just ridiculous. The turnover is unbelievable, and that's kind of like what I'm doing at the restaurant. That's why I got the job at the restaurant, because I'm so customer service oriented, and God just the good Lord, He blows my mind so many times. I have so many stories. I'm at the restaurant. There's two old ladies that live in the building above the restaurant. The restaurant's called Poseidon. They come in the restaurant, and they're like 93 years old, both of them. They're like, girl, I just wish I could take a picture and just send it all over the world. But anyway, they walked in the restaurant, and the wait staff, they roll their eyes, and they take a deep breath every time these ladies come in, because they complain about it's too cold and this and that. So anyway, they come in every day. They spend $50 a piece each day. They tip 20%. Oh, girl, please. They have so much money, and one of them is from Chicago. But let me tell you they love me to death. I mean, I'm not trying to brag. But anyway, the reason I fell in love with them so much was because guess what their name is? Their names are, I should say. My name is Carolyn Ann. One's name is Carolyn, and the other one's name is Ann.
Oh, that is funny.
I just crack up every time. And when they see me, it's like, oh, my God, I just love them so much. I just love them. I love waiting on them. I'm not a waiter or a waitress or anything like that, but I just make sure everything is perfect for them. When they have a complaint about the crackers being stale, I said, if I have to go to the store and get some fresh crackers, I'll do it. But it's just so interesting how God just sends me all this little stuff. And I said, I mean, how could that be? Carolyn
and
Ann.
And what is
their
story? What are those guys about? Do you know?
I'm sorry?
Do you know what their background? What are their lives about?
Well, all I know is one of them, the building downstairs, the building upstairs is a condo, and it's housed with a lot of wealthy people. And these two ladies, one lady in particular, was just neither one of them ever worked. They were just married to very wealthy, they had very wealthy husbands, and they were socialites. That's it. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Boy,
and,
I bet you hear some interesting stories from them.
Oh, my. But they're just so sweet. Oh, my. I mean, Carolyn Ann.
That is. Now, how long have they been friends? Do you know that?
For a long, long time. Both of them are widows, and they both live in the building. And so they come downstairs with their providers. And one lady that's a provider said that she remembers, Miss Ann remembers her when she was a little girl. Apparently she's been taking care, well, her mom took care of Miss Ann, and now she's taking care of Miss Ann. Her mom is now deceased, and now she's taking care of Miss Ann.
It's just
interesting, these stories, I'm telling you. It's just unbelievable.
Well, you know, getting back to it, we And we'll as the audience is seeing, I hope you're enjoying all of our little stories and anecdotes here. But one of the things that I think is another thing is the respect for senior citizens. There's a wealth of knowledge.
Yes.
But these young kids
yes.
don't pay attention. They
no.
think that you're in the way, you're inconvenient. But, you know, not everyone that's a senior citizen is a senile person that doesn't have anything positive to offer. So there we go with, oh, we have a caller. Let's see who this person is
and
see what the comment is. Just a moment. Isn't this wonderful? Good evening.
Hello.
And welcome to the Fly Girl Show. Who's calling?
This is Rhonda. Can you hear me?
Hello there, Rhonda. How are you today?
I'm good. I just got a chance to tune in. I was doing some stuff, and I just ran in the house and realized I was late. But I wanted to call in just to say how exciting I am to start off 2017 with you. Oh, my God. It's so exciting. I love what I read. You're starting off 2017 talking about eating good and doing all these type of things, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm there. I apologize for missing the first 30 minutes. I just heard the last 5 minutes of the young lady talking about the two older women, Ann, and so I heard that, but I didn't hear anything prior, so I don't know where you are in the conversation, but I just wanted to call and say how proud I am of you, Casey. You are doing it. You are making it happen.
Yes.
Why, thank you. Well, introduce yourself to my audience. This is my friend Rhonda from Chicago. And, Rhonda, tell us about what you're all about because you are so perfect. Carolyn and I, so say hello to Carolyn, my co-host.
Hi,
Rhonda.
Hi.
That's exciting.
And this is Rhonda.
I love it.
And so you are coming in at a perfect time. So chime in because what we have been talking about is starting off the new year. And even though, because Carolyn has given a new definition of diet, and her day starts off with prayer, and so we say that is a diet, that is her regimen. So give us some insight on you, Rhonda, and your positive, because your program, you have an outstanding program. So would you introduce that to my audience?
I will. I'm excited about doing that. As I said, I'm excited about 2017, but this is what there's some things that I believe, and then there's some things that I just do not even just, I don't even go for those things. And one, unfortunately, some of your audience may be like doing this. I don't make New Year's resolutions, Casey. I don't. And so many people do, and then they fall off the wagon, and then they feel like, oh, I'm a failure again another year, and I'll get back started. So I just don't do it. I mean, I start like trying to do all those things that people say, I'm going to lose 5 pounds, and then I'm going to start until January, and then they eat like crazy in December. Like, they just, like, eat an extra 5 pounds. So even if they lost
exactly.
5 pounds, you know, and it's just so crazy and stuff. So it's all about just eating well. So what I do is I'm a health coach, and what I do is I work with women who are in need of, like, some balance in their life. And, you know, as an older woman, I am just to the point where it's like, we have to find the balance in our lives to get to happy, and that's my big thing. I'm all about us getting to happy as a people and as women, and what does that consist of? And when I talk about balance, I'm talking about from spiritual life to financial to your health to all of those things, you know, to social, you know, interaction with one another and all those things that we, you know, like feel like we're out of kilter with. And so how do we get our lives back in balance? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes.
And
Absolutely.
And that's the truth. And the fact is, as Carolyn and I have both said, it isn't about you have to spend a lot of money to do this and that and the other, but it is about, and you've introduced the new word to us, balance. It is about taking what you have and balancing. It's about enhancing what you have. It's about, as Carolyn said, the good attitude. And Carolyn is getting such a joy, and she's learning from these seniors, the women. And that's, that's blessing, and that's their blessing. And with your program, Rhonda, and this is all, you encompass the whole, everything we've talked about, removing negative people from your lives.
Yeah. I truly believe that's a major, you know, when Carolyn, when you said that you start off with, like, prayer, because that's part of your diet of what you need to do.
Yes.
I love that. I love that.
Or meditation.
So,
it doesn't have to necessarily, you know, some people meditate, some people pray, but there has to, you have to have that quiet time where you know, you you know, you just take a deep breath and just sort of breathe and think and give it to some another source. I mean, everybody isn't religious. Some people
right.
meditate. Some people are Buddhist. Some people have different spiritual, you know, paths that they take.
I'm with you.
I choose prayer.
I hear you. My meditation is a candle and a bath and just quiet with no lights on and listening to positive affirmations. That's my meditation. And so it's a beautiful thing. I try to do it every morning, to be honest with you. After exercising, I run a bath, I light a candle, I don't turn on any lights, and I listen to my positive affirmations. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. You know, your self-esteem is high. There's no one who can touch you. Let go of all the negativity in your life. You're starting this day off beautiful. All those kinds of things. That's one of the things that I can make a suggestion is that we need to do more of that, because once we leave out of the house, and even when we leave out of the house, sometimes it's crazy, but we get into a work environment and it's just like, you know, I mean, that's where so much stress comes from, you know?
Exactly.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
As you were saying that, it's really interesting because, believe it or not, there's a certain spirit that comes to me, not always in prayer. I can be standing in line at Starbucks. I can be in a department store, and there's an aura around someone, something, there's some
mm-hmm.
situation that says to me that I'm here. That, I mean, I feel this whatever the spiritual thing is, I feel it not only when I'm praying one-on-one or lighting a candle or you know, or whatever. I
mm-hmm.
feel it in so many different ways. It's amazing. It could be a person that I've met. There's a messages come to me through maybe a dog, sometimes a butterfly, sometimes a I can't explain it. I really wish I could explain it. But there's a message that comes to me in different forms. That
okay.
peacefulness comes to me in different forms. It's not always that after I pray or whatever, I do feel a calmness, but I also feel it when I'm in the element. And
yeah.
and there's also an inner voice when I'm about to go negative. I have to take a deep breath and I go like, something will stop me.
Well, that's okay.
And I will say this to you. God made me see something, and it just kind of took me aback for a minute. There's a young man that's around me a lot. He's a graphic designer. He's a very, very talented young man. He and I worked with the Essence Festival, and he's very talented, I'm extremely talented. I just can't explain. He's just weird. He's kind of got a weird sense of humor too. So anyway,
mm-hmm.
I ran into him again. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. I ran into him, and every time I'd see him, he's a young kid, master's degree, good university, et cetera, et cetera. So every time I would talk, I'd say, how you doing, Timothy? Oh, I guess I'm okay for a walking dead man. And I'm like, what? Every time I would say something to him, he had something negative, something very condescending about himself. I was trying to figure out what is going on. And it got to the point where I just had to I attacked him. I said, wait a minute, just hold on 1 minute. And he and I were having lunch, and I blasted him. And I said, you know what, you have to be thankful. I said, God let you wake up this morning. Do you understand? So I gave him one of my speeches and so forth and so on. So 2 weeks went by, I hadn't heard from him. I called his mom, where's Timothy? Oh, he's in the hospital. Really, in the hospital? So I'm calling him. Let me just fast forward to, he gets out of the hospital, take him to lunch. He looks like he weighed about 32 pounds. I said, well, mm-hmm. how are you, Timothy? He said, I'm all right for a dead man. I said, Timothy, look, I'm tired. I don't want to hear this to me again. Well,
yeah.
Come to find out, this kid is 33 years old, and he has sickle cell.
Okay.
So he's dealing
dying.
With an issue every
he
day.
He is dying. He is literally, it was like God just, it was a, oh my, you don't even know, I felt, but I couldn't let him see that, you know what I mean? I couldn't let him see it, but I was so taken aback, and I didn't know what to say. So
but
said,
he's
well,
living. He's not dying with the disease.
Yeah, I'm confused.
With the disease.
Right.
Well, he, I mean, he's in the hospital back and forth like two or three times a month.
But there's tons of people who have sickle cell and they handle it better. He's just got like, he sounds like he's totally in a depressed thing when you say he's dying. I mean, like, you know, I mean, all of us are dying eventually.
And
right,
he can't change those
because
words.
Every time I'm around him, he takes me to a level of depression. I mean, it's like, he said every time I would be around him,
okay.
I would just.
So let me just stop you right now because I'm going to ask you, Tana, why are you constantly around him? Is there something that's telling you that you have to be his savior? I mean, I understand,
You know what my problem is? I tend to be, and this is what one resolution that I've made for the year, I tend to be a pleaser.
Okay.
I tend to be
right.
a pleaser. And
a
I
fixer.
Am attempting,
yeah.
a fixer, and I'm attempting to change that part
okay.
of my personality. That is a flaw in with me. I am a pleaser. It's like if we go out to lunch, I pick up the tab. Everything I pick up. I pick up this, I pick up that. And I do realize it has to stop.
Yeah,
so, Rhonda,
yeah.
give her your we have about 15 minutes. To Rhonda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Let me just share this one thing. I just did a workshop actually this morning, and one of the things that I said, and this can help as far as you're telling what you're saying, is that I said that, you know, everyone likes a room, some when they enter and some when they exit.
Ooh.
You with me? So there are people when they come into the room, you're so excited to see them. Oh, my God. It's like, oh, my God, it's so good to see you, Casey. That's how you are to me, Casey. I get excited to see you. Then there are some people, and it sounds like him, Carolyn, that when he leaves, then it's like, oh, my God, I'm so glad he's gone. He's just dreamy. You know? And so what kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to be the kind of person that when you walk in, you light up the room, or when you leave, that's when the room starts getting light? And it seems like, I understand about the pleaser. We have that mentality, you know, I don't know, maybe we can trace that back to our slavery days or whatever and low self-esteem in our parents or whatever. But you, at least you've addressed that and you know that's one of your one of the things. But you got to stop letting this person just completely just bring you down to the point where it's a major conversation in your life. And, you know, and just move on. You sound like you're much more positive when you're talking about the other ladies, Carol and Ann, and
that kind of stuff. Yes.
You know, that's what you need to be because, I mean, when you talk about balance, he is not a good balance in your life right now, and you can't save everybody. I've noticed, I mean, we got people in our families that, I mean, if I was just around them and trying to help them all the time, which I have, they will pull me down all the time, which goes to that light. So you have to be the point where you like, you know, I've said this, I've tried to help you, this, that, and the other, but I just got to move on because it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere.
And Rhonda, I've done that. To be honest with you, before 2017, I've already done that. I've already eliminated that part of him away from me. And I'm just going to say this lastly. Casey, tell her about the conversation we had about B. Smith.
Oh, yes, we were talking about B. Smith and how much, you know, she's a sweetheart to all of us and the love. And then her journey is a very sad one because she's dealing with Alzheimer's. And so we were just saying how she really
is.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She has a book out called Before I Forget.
Right. It was something that her and her husband wrote. I'm familiar.
Yes.
Her and her husband wrote it together. Okay.
But her spirit, see, when I talk about her, I don't speak about her in a pity form because I've known her for years. And I remember when she had the restaurant. I mean, I consider her a personal friend of mine. But it's like when I talk about her, it's not draining. It's positive. It's
uplifting. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm glad you let me share that scenario with the young kid Timothy because I was feeling really bad, but I just basically eliminated him in November from my space. I truly did.
Yeah, that's the thing,
Rhonda, that I read off a list of the 10 things, and I think you have a video on YouTube which you can tell our audience about, Rhonda, before we go. I want you to do that. But that was one of the things that we shared, the 10 things you need to let go. And one of the things definitely was negative people. You remove them from your space because this is 2017, and this is about starting off in a positive way and bringing positive life and light to your life.
Yeah. I don't want to be a walking cliche, but I you know, I listen to a lot of positive stuff ever since, like, for the last 30-something, 40 years. And Les Brown has this line, and I'm sure that a lot of your listeners have heard this, and if not, then they can, like, enlighten themselves with this. But he says, if you know somebody's going to rain on your parade, don't tell them what street you're going down. Do you like that?
I love it.
Okay. Yeah. And so I'm real big on, like, you don't want to be sharing all your good stuff with people because especially if they're negative people, all, you know, they just bring you down. So you want to, you know, be around positive people. So that's part of the balancing. And thank you for sharing, for mentioning that, Casey. I have a new website that I'm in the process of creating, and that's one of the reasons why I'm late calling in, but it's called Life Lessons for Black Women. Life Lessons for Black Women. Now, any woman could, like, enjoy some of the stuff that I'm sharing, but, you know, it's some good content, and I just share from my perspective. You know, I'm in the, you know, upper 50s, and, you know, and I'm just sharing from my perspective of some of the stuff that I've learned that can help other women, 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever, and can help them. And so, you know, I've been studying, you know, like, real positive people for years. I mean, like, you know, just like I said, for a good 40-something years, I've been, you know, following, like, Anthony Robbins, Les Brown, you know, Lisa Nichols, adore her, you know, people who are actually out there making it happen, and pretty much all of them have said the same thing, is that, you know, you have people in your life who are plus into your life, you have people in your life who are equal signs. You know, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're, oh, you wonder, you know, you question your sanity as far as your friendship, which sounds like this guy, and you have people who are just totally negative. And so you got to just, like, you know, try to eliminate those people. And sometimes, unfortunately, those are people that are in our family. So maybe we can't eliminate them, but we can, like, lessen our time around them. You know,
exactly.
We only have this one body and one mind here on this earth. And so how are you going to play it out? And I want to play it full out. I want to be around people who are, you know, in the same mindset.
Rhonda, can I tell you who my role model was for in terms of mm-hmm. a positive role model that I had? And her name was Angelina Zeno Mitchell, and that was my mother. My mother, when I tell you that it was the most positive woman I thank God that I had her as a mom. And
she's
I remember,
beautiful.
I just have to just give you a quick story. When she and my dad separated, I'm the oldest of 9 kids, and I remember we had to live in a garage apartment, and I was depressed, and I was crying, and I said, Mother, we can't live like this, because my mother used to always tell me I was high-minded. And she, and her response to me was, Carolyn, this is temporary. This is all I can do. And she said this to me, one day the sun's going to shine in our back door. One day the sun's going to shine in our back door. And lo and behold, God let me see that day, because we bought my mom a house, and guess what? We were out in the yard. She was cooking dirty rice, pork roast, gumbo, all that stuff for Thanksgiving, and I'll be darned if she didn't open the back door and say, come on, you guys, it's time to eat Thanksgiving dinner. And it hit me right at that moment, one day the sun's going to shine in our back door. And that's exactly what God let me see. So my most positive role model was my mother. My mother and my grandmother. Yes, indeed.
Okay. And I think we all have, thank goodness, our journey has introduced us and brought positive people into our lives. And that is what puts a smile on our face. We all have a similar personality. We're all, the three of us, ladies and gentlemen, that you are meeting today, two of my very good friends, a positive attitude. And that is exactly what we were all about on this show, is to bring positiveness in your life and give you a direction. You don't have to go out and buy material things to make you happy. It starts within. And, ladies, I'm going to give you an opportunity to close. If there's anything you would like to tell my audience, any of your email addresses, please feel free to do it. And I'll let you go first, Rhonda, because then Carolyn and I will close the show.
Okay, that's fine, because I really need to run to that. Thank you so much for that. As I said, I'm really promoting for this 2017 my new website, but I'm also, you can take a look on YouTube, and you can Google Life Lessons for Black Women and Rhonda Thomas, Life Lessons for Black Women, and you can Google that. And I've gotten a couple of really cute, funny, you get a chance to know my personality. I talk about 57 things about me and representing 57 age and things that I can't live without, and candles is one, and baths is another. So I already told you two. But just a lot of good stuff, and out of every session that I do, every YouTube video that I do, you'll get something out of, you'll have a nugget to be able to take, put it in your pocket and use it towards something positive. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share that. I'm excited about it. And so thanks.
Thank you so much. And Rhonda, you dash and have a very good evening. And thank you so much for sharing that.
Nice to meet you, Rhonda.
Carolyn, nice to talk to you. You all take
care. Nice to talk with you as well.
All right. Uh-huh. Keep listening to Casey because she's absolutely fabulous in person as well as on the radio, guys.
Absolutely.
So I have the pleasure of having lunch with her every once in a while. Take care, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that was wonderful, and that was great input into the things that you and I have just been talking about. And I'm glad you found time to call in and give us that input and her website. And she's such she's a little tiny, feisty thing, full of energy. She is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And so I'm going to give you a few minutes before I close the show and give us your website and different ways that we can contact you and any way we can help you with any of your programs. So please let my audience
I want the audience to know that certainly I will be in Chicago soon. I just don't have a date yet, but to quote Maya Angelou, "And still I rise, and still I rise," and I continue to put forth an effort to make a difference with young people and also with young mothers, teaching my etiquette program, self-improvement, self-empowerment. So that's something that's going to be ongoing until I take my last breath. I have written a book called Coffee, Tea, or Watermelon about my life as a black flight attendant. That book is going to be out very, very shortly, like in the next 30 days. I have a cookbook called Angelina, named after my beautiful mother, Angelina Zydeco Cookbook. And I highlight recipes from some of my old relatives as well as some Zydeco entertainers. I am very, 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 very interested in speaking to social groups, community organizations, doing a motivational / etiquette program, Young, Gifted, and Classy Kids in the Kitchen, learning manners, learning etiquette. So if there's anyone out there that would like to have me come to Chicago. It doesn't have to be Chicago. It could be anywhere in the world, even Australia. I am available, and I love your show so much. You and I are on the same page, 100%. But
we are. Well, now give them your contact. Did you give them your email address?
My email is Angelina, which is my mom, Angelina Gumbo 337 at AOL. Angelina Gumbo 337 at AOL, and my phone number is 504-813-1648, and I do have a website, Young, Gifted, and Classy. I'm on Facebook, and I also have a website, Young, Gifted, and Classy. And kind of Casey, thank you for having me on the show. And
I really appreciate it, and I'm going to allow you to go. I'm going to close the show, but I thank you. I think this was a perfect way for me to start the year with high
energy. Good energy.
Great energy, high energy from two lovely ladies that, as I said to the audience, that are my friends and that have put a lot into their lives and continue to do so. I hope that you have enjoyed the show, and I hope that you've taken away, if you didn't do anything but take 5 of the 10 things that we said, let it go. Start your life off in a positive way. Take what you have and enhance it. You are beautiful.
And share it.
And bring positive people into your life. So with that, I am going to close our show. This is the first one for 2017. I hope that you will tune in for more positive shows. I hope you will learn something and take away something every time you listen to me. The Fly Girl Show. Tune in on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, and once again, everyone, Happy New Year.